One of my favorite days of the year came and went again. And that day is, of course...
May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you. That's right, Timmy.
And
good job.
And also with you.
And also with you. Timmy, you get a hair point. Good job.
That's how it's done, boys. That's how it's done.
Kissing ass.
This year, we decided that it was time to show Medley The Empire Strikes Back.
Whoa.
Now, she had not known of the twist. We kept it very secret. We, you know, like, even if she did see, like, a joke about it or something like that, I don't know if she connected it. You know what I mean? I don't know if she ever, was able to draw the line between the two.
Trolling through the dankest Star Wars memes on the internet, never spoiled.
Yeah, it's a miracle. I'm not going to let my kid look at Twitter. That's a fucking dumb idea.
Not Twitter. I'm just saying, like, what if you, I don't know if
she's
you curate the
Twitter.
Dankest Star Wars memes for your child or not. Like, I wouldn't.
We let her on TikTok like good parents.
Yeah, Jake, as soon as it's 5 in the morning, she gets a tablet in front of her.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything else.
I just let my kids do straight heroin.
It's basically the same thing at this point.
Digital heroin. Here's the thing. So we, I'm gonna go through the movie itself. So the initial thing is the Tauntauns. Great fucking scene. I don't know how George made Hoth look so goddamn cold, but he did great with the set design and just the color schemes and all that kind of stuff. The Hoth scene is just iconic, I think. And it's a great place to start the movie.
But Jake, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean, how he made it look so cold?
They went the
it's Hoth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
It's naturally true. That cold.
Yeah. The next thing, though, was that I loved how throughout the movie, each time an admiral failed him, he just fucking died.
That's true.
There's like the scene where one of them comes in and goes, "We failed to capture Han Solo again," and then he's like, "All right, I'll talk to the admiral." Darth Vader immediately turns around. He comes on screen and just starts going, and then while that happened, Medley goes, "Another one?" It's like, yeah.
She's just collecting bodies. This guy's
evil. Yeah, she was just like, "What? How did he kill another one? How did he do that?" And I'm like, he force choked him through a screen.
at the end of the movie, at the end of Return of the Jedi, we just recently watched all the Star Wars movies again.
Yeah.
And the Vader's monologue when he's fighting Luke before the Emperor was super evil, like more evil than I remember. I was like, oh god, this is fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sometimes I, like, forget how evil Vader is, and I'm like, Vader's an awesome villain.
No, he's a good villain. I mean, he's the iconic villain, right? There was a really, really good part there. So you're talking about, like, monologues and just, like, how he presents himself. That lightsaber battle between Luke and Darth Vader on Bespin, and after one, he turns Han Solo into the Carbonite, right? Mm-hmm. Then he does that. He tests it on Han Solo, which is fucking brutal. Says he'll comp Boba Fett if it fails. So he's just like, don't worry, we'll handle the chick. And then the fight between them, you expect it to be like super epic, and it is. But one thing that they did was they left out the music. There is no music in that fight between Luke and Vader. And so all you hear is them stepping back and forth, the lightsaber noises, the crackling, and then his breathing, and that's it. And it has this, like, tense air to the whole thing. Because you're like, I know Luke's going to, like, make it out or something like that. But it's a really good scene, just, like, overall aesthetic and, like, the lighting and stuff like that. Like, the everything that they put into this movie was done with purpose, and I love it.
They emphasize, like, it's so clear that Vader is just toying with Luke.
Yeah.
It's like the entire fight, he uses his left hand. His non-dominant hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, the same thing. It's like, yeah, like, Vader, like, the whole first half of the fight just, like, isn't trying. And then when Luke goes out the window and they start the fight up again, Vader just fucking wrecks him.
Just goes ham. Yeah. So, we get to that point now where they go out the window, and that scene, probably the most iconic line in all of movies, happens, where Vader says, "No, I am your father."
Well, you just spoiled it for everyone listening.
Oh, yeah, it's over 3 years old. So listen. Here's what my daughter said. Okay, one, the shock of him losing his hand made her go, "Huh." Mm. Okay, and then that part where Mark Hamill just gives that delivery. Okay, but when Vader says this, Medley goes, "He's lying." She didn't believe it.
It's not an unreasonable take.
I know, like, she had a good point. Like, what if he is? And I'm like, but that's the hard part, is that he isn't. Mm-hmm. I was like, why would he say that? And so, like, I love her idea of just, like, just deny. He's evil, he's bad, he's the villain. And I'm like, no, he's completely true. But there was a lot of good stuff in this. There was something that like, I don't think I caught maybe the first 100 times I watched, but there's a point when Obi-Wan says that that if Luke leaves his training at that point to go confront Vader, because they tell him to stay, they're like, your friends might have to be sacrificed, but that's a sacrifice that needs to be made. They're, you know, all talking about the greater, you know, the will of the Force and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But there's a part where he says, if you go confront Vader, I can't be there to help you. Because Obi-Wan had been there to help guide him and stuff like that. The reason, though, is that if he showed up, Vader could easily be like, look, he's manipulating you. Like, that would have left an opening for Vader to try to tell Luke, no, see, he's trying to control you, I'm giving you freedom. There was going to be a foothold that he could have, and so that's why Obi-Wan was like, I can't help you. I literally can't be there to do anything. But yeah, it's the Empire Strikes Back, just, man, that's a good-ass movie.
Turns out a pretty good film.
Yeah. I was telling Medley, I'm like, this is considered one of the greatest films of all time, and you're about to find out why.
It's like Big Tech. Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie. good movie. But in tune with Star Wars, has everyone else watched Skeleton Crew?
Oh, yeah. Skeleton Crew was awesome.
Skeleton Crew was really, really good.
Watching that with the kids was so much fun.
It's a great kid show. I loved it as an adult. I would have watched it on my own.
I didn't recognize the title because Errol and I just called it Kids in Space.
That's fair. Yeah, that's
basically Goonies.
Goonies in Space. I had heard that multiple times, and I literally heard it from three different people who would never talk to each other, and I'm like, okay, you can't tell me it's Goonies, one of my favorite movies, and Star Wars, one of my favorite movies, and I just passed on this one. And we watched it, and boy, that was a good fucking movie. good series, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
They did Space Pirate really well. There's a droid in that, if you have not watched it, there's a droid in that is the archetype of a pirate in space.
Played by Nick Frost, which is just the best.
Yeah, he's so good. He's so great. But no, the show is done well. It has the thing where, like, it's Star Wars adjacent in the way that, like, Andor is. Like, it's nothing mainline Star Wars or anything like that. Like, Andor is, like, connected to the mainline stuff, but it's not involved in as much as the other stuff.
It's not Skywalker.
It's nothing to do with Skywalker. But no, this is literally just some kids who love adventure get shunted out into space, and then they're on the run constantly. But they love adventure, so they just love doing it, and it's just great. So if you have not watched it, this might be worth a Disney Plus account, to be honest, if you don't have one yet. The show's really good.
Thanks, Disney, for sponsoring this episode of the Punch Squad podcast.
Big friend of the pod, George Lucas. He sponsored this whole thing.
Dear God.
So what did you guys do for May the 4th?
Work.
Wow.
Yeah, wore a Star Wars shirt.
Probably I'm just watching Andor.
Okay, yeah. I've not sat down and watched that yet.
Have you seen season one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's the season's every bit as good or better than the first season.
Okay, that's good to know, because the first one, obviously, Andor Andor is the level that I expect out of Star Wars now, because they set the bar. Yeah. So, if they're... Yeah,
I saw some outlandish thing. It was like episode 8 of Andor is the most critically acclaimed TV episode of all time or something.
Oh, right.
I don't know if that was just clickbait, but I believe it.
It's been absolutely incredible. I've loved this season of Andor.
And like reading the internet commentary and also like the YouTube comment, like watching the YouTube commentary. Oh man, so many cool layers. So
yeah,
once you watch Andor, Jake, just watch Screen Crush does a great breakdowns, and then obviously the Peanut Gallery of Twitter, they have a lot of fun takes as well.
Yeah, yeah. I usually stay off of Twitter when something new comes out because it is really, really difficult to not be in that sphere. And
no, there's spoilers everywhere.
All over the place.
I've already had two episodes spoiled for me.
It's so annoying because that's the reason why people mute stuff on Twitter. I don't do that. I usually just go on and look at funny shit. But like I might have to start using that for stuff like this. But much like how Harrison Ford was out of Star Wars after that episode, Elk is no longer in our show.
Wow, you're really just coming with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
We don't know if he's gone.
He can
come back.
Well, okay. He
could be in the room right now.
Let's talk about it. You guys walked through the gate. The three of you turned to look at each other and noticed Elkwood was not there and the gate was closed. Talk about it right now.
Well, that's Elkwood. He was right here, right? Like...
Who
had the key on them?
He had the key.
Fuck.
So what you're saying is we can't get back.
Not there.
Yeah, I like detect magic on the portal. It's just completely closed, right?
Yeah. Besides the residual magic, which you know that it is magic itself, but yeah, you know only of that key to work on that gate, so.
Do we have the key for the next gate?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
But, Elk has two keys on him, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Elk has the key back to,
The
Mwangi. And he has the key to Kintargo.
Yep.
I say we start now. We travel to Kintargo on foot, beat the shit out of him, and take him back.
how far is that?
From Breach Hill to Kintargo, I think it was like 700 miles to the quarry.
I could walk 700.
Out of spite and anger.
We're on the east side of Isker. And Kintargo is 2-3 countries away.
Oh my gosh.
Let's see. From Ravenel, do measure distance to what was that?
Really,
this Dustfallen Citadel, Breach Hill. There it is.
Yeah, it's like it'd probably be like from here to Montana.
Yeah. All right, hold on. I had
to start walking.
Yeah, right.
Start walking. And it's all mountains. We would have to travel through the meander.
Start hiking.
The meander mountains all the time.
It is 839 miles from Breach Hill to Kintargo.
Just start hiking. You're fine.
Dude, I could do that with like two charges of Cybertruck. Let's do this.
The Cybertruck would never make it through the mountains.
No, not even close.
No.
You know how heavy those things are? It's literally one of the worst vehicles off-roaded.
Kendra's like, why would he stay behind? Why would he do this?
I don't know. You guys know him, right?
Maybe
he's
just
your
wanted
friend. I just walked in here.
Maybe he just wanted to change the scenery.
You think he'll be back?
Knowing him, it's possible, but I doubt it. I think he may have had a desire to change the way his life was going.
We should probably at least send a letter.
Out.
Mosehead?
We should probably at least send a letter.
Well, it's up to him now.
Not gonna even write?
Not the biggest writer I've ever met.
No, I mean, you, Benson, you, Kezra, will...
And where would you say I should send that letter to?
Last known location, Kentucky. There, Elkwood did, when we were traveling together, I think we were going to the Alabaster Academy, where I was, he was gracious enough to give me some money so I could send a message, a magical message, and he kept going somewhere else. He said he had an errand to run. Do you know, did he mention any of this to you all? Like, do you know if he had connections in the city that would keep him there?
I don't know if he had any connections in that city. I don't believe he ever shared anything like that with me.
I forget, did Elk share that with us?
Not, he didn't really talk about it that much, but there was probably cases that you would have saw him maybe walking with Mallory. That whole incident with what's his name? Shadeborn? Was it Alka?
Helica Shadeborn.
Helica Shadeborn, like that whole meeting with like that they're talking about the whole Nidal Court and all that stuff, like that he did walk there with her and stuff like that. But when he sat down, he sat with all of you. But I mean, like it wasn't broadcasted out really at all. Both secretive people. So,
well, Benson would have noticed. Because you took Benson to that bar where Poppy was, and you met up with her there, so...
I think I may have mentioned it, I cannot remember, but I also said something that someone brought me here, so...
Yeah, I thought Benson might know, because I don't think Kezra knew at all, because he was always doing his own shit.
Yeah, Kezra was half-naked, making armor, man.
I suppose I'll send a letter to... What was her name?
It was Mallory.
Lady Mallory.
Lady Mallory.
The Alabaster Academy.
She's from Lady Decor's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It's next to the...
Yeah, they're like right there.
Yeah. That's why we were journeying together and then Elk split off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll send a letter her way, see if she knows anything about it.
Can't believe you would just abandon us, though. After what we just went through.
It doesn't sit well with me either, but there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it now.
Well, let's go figure out what's going on with the Citadel, see what progress has been made.
Any dwarves running around? I look around for dwarves.
There are no dwarves down here in the bottom floor.
Yeah, we probably told them to stay out of this place.
Yeah, you imagine that the kobolds told anybody they would kill them if they came down here. So, you guys go.
Where Hazel will kick your ass.
yeah, exactly. So if we go to level two, you guys are in the level three. So if we go up a floor to level two, this is the Citadel Ultramarine Vaults. You can see things are a lot cleaner down here, with the exception of where the goblins are sleeping. You know that the goblins are hanging out in their rooms, so they're having a good old time, as they usually do. You actually wouldn't hear any goblins here, which would indicate that they are not home, so it's probably about midday. So that's about the time that you guys are here. If you go up another floor, you hear people arguing.
Let's investigate.
You go out to the Citadel Ultramarine the courtyard. This is the courtyard where everybody had been before. So let me go ahead and... Oh, I forgot that I pulled it all. Look at me. I'm a really smart guy. Did you guys know that? I put all the maps onto one thing.
I had my suspicions.
See? Activate so you guys can come over here. So this is the courtyard where you guys should be able to see everybody who's here. So Lionel Black is here. Pib and Zarf are here, and they appear to be arguing with a dwarf of some kind. You guys, Kezra and Benson, you guys would know this to be Rorsk Axebane. He's the he is a head of the. I'm trying to remember what his place was called.
Yeah, we knew Rorsk.
Yeah, Tuskhead Stoneworking. So Rorsk Axebane. He was the guy that he was the one who was super mad at Pasandi. He could have swore that he was worshiping Asmodeus. Turns out he was. And it was taking business away from Rorsk Axebane. But Rorsk is here, and he appears to be arguing with Pip and Zarf.
What's going on here, Pip? Zarf?
Lord Kezra! Oh, you didn't hang the sign!
And Pip smacks Zarf in the face. His one eye goes, wobbling.
Oh, it's even worse now.
I'll pop it back in.
What are you arguing about?
Lord Kezra, we're so sorry. We had a welcome home sign, but someone didn't hang it.
Well, next time, do better.
I'm so sorry. Sorry, I will lead these people better. These mongrels.
Looks at everybody.
Is this Pip or Zarf?
Pip. Yeah. Pip is the green one, and Zarf is the red one with the wonky eye.
And Pip has assumed leadership.
I mean, Pip and Zarf do, but clearly Pip just talks more. It's really the only difference between them.
Nice.
So the Lionel is just sitting there. She's just sort of staring off into space here. But Rorsk sees you, and he's just like, "Oh, thank God you're here." Wait. Where have you been? It's been 3 months.
Oh my God, has it been that long?
No, sorry. It's been 1 month.
I feel like it's been a little a little more than a month or something.
Yeah, a little more than a month, yeah. But just like, you disappeared again. The people in town have been freaking out.
We were working.
Did we not tell them we were leaving?
I thought you... I
don't think we did.
Well, we also don't want to advertise the fact that we have a fucking teleporter.
We don't have to say that much, but...
Yeah, but I could have sworn when we left, we said something like, we'll be back at some point or something
Who do we tell? Pib and Zarf? You know?
Well, we told
honestly, the safest people you can talk
to
about it.
We commissioned Rorsk and his dwarves to upgrade the keep. So we told them that we'd be gone.
Yeah,
we might not have told them. We didn't know exactly how long we would be gone.
Right. So yeah. So they clearly, when you say we'll be gone for a minute, they assume a week. You know what I mean? Like, how long does it take to travel? You guys are heroes. You might have magical implements. Like a month goes by, and they're like, "What the fuck?" So Rorsk is just like, "Been dealing with these buffoons. Look, they keep telling me that we just need to keep working, and I keep saying I need payment. But then they keep saying that we're not getting any payment until we continue working. You see the problem I have here?"
I can see the logical loop that they would fall into, yes.
The problem is, they don't have any money.
Right, they keep saying that you'll pay, but I haven't even gotten... I haven't even made up invoices because they keep making us work.
How much do you need right now to continue?
I don't even know yet. That's the thing. We've continued to work, and it keeps tallying up. I'll have to tally up the last month. I assume, hopefully you're staying for a few days, maybe?
We'll see.
Yes.
Okay, well, work it out with these two. What exactly needs to be done, and then I'll get what payment needs to be afforded now.
Well, tell me, what did you work on in their absence?
So he starts going through how they had changed out different stone. If it was crumbling, they changed it. They outfitted different rooms, and then they re-outfitted different rooms. They just kept doing work. This is a weird cut. Do you guys know the Winchester House by chance?
Yes.
Okay. the kind of the Winchester house where, like, they just kept doing work and then they were just like, we don't like it. And then they just did it again. So for those not accustomed, the Winchester house, the woman who was married to the late Winchester family, she, when her husband died, she was being visited by ghosts and spirits, and they kept saying that they were victims of her husband's rifles. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the seance, or the spiritualist that was helping her said, oh, well, all you need to do is you need to continue building this house, and then it will confuse the ghost. So her house is a literal maze and, like, funhouse of goofy ass. Like, there's stairways that lead to nowhere. There's doors that open to the outside on the second story.
Yeah, there's some death traps there.
There are actual death traps there, yeah.
Yeah, the one on the second floor, like, as you go up and you're like, oh, cool, what's out? Oh, no, there's, it's just, it plummets. Like, yeah. There's no, like, little balcony. It's just, open a door, plummet.
Yeah, so the, not to that level of craziness, but like they just kept moving stuff. Like if they had just outfitted something, all of a sudden they would come to Worsk and be like, "Do it again." I'd be like, "What the fuck?"
Like the worst micromanagers too. Oh, my God.
Speaking as the player, Timmy, I'm looking at our Citadel renovations tab on our treasure sheet, and the things we had slotted was a champion training area, ranger training area, magical crafting, library, infirmary, furnishings, church time of day, and buffing defenses.
Most of that has been done. They're probably still working on doing like the reinforcing of the stonework and stuff like that. That, you know, adding brackets and things of that nature. You know, if there's like a single crack in it, then obviously Rorsk is just like, listen, I can't take any chances. So, you know, they're doing like the fine tooth comb through this. So it's either in progress or they have already done it. So. But that being said, Rorsk is like, all right, I'll get everything together. I'll figure out what else needs to be done and how much it's going to cost. But my men are tired. I'm tired. I'm going to go to town. So,
quality work. We really appreciate what you've been doing.
Thank you. It means a lot. Suppose I'll see you guys in town.
Probably in a bit. We're a little tuckered out ourselves.
Well, you don't want to miss the celebration, so.
What celebration?
Come on, guys. It's Call for Heroes, I mean.
Oh. We've been doing other shit for a little while. Kind of out of the loop.
they still talk about what you did, by the way.
Oh. I guess.
As they should.
they told me about the fire imp. Apparently it's quite a blow. Were you there in person for it?
Yeah, it was. The fire started, and it was these fine gentlemen that had the idea to get the Bucket Brigade going.
I'm Gon, by the way. It's nice to meet you.
Gon Rorsk. Nice to meet you.
It's good to know that there are people like you in this town that do fine work. It is...
the best work.
Yes.
You have a handshake, and then he says, I hate the big folk in Dwarvish.
I was like, two dwarves just start talking, like, oh my god, I fucking hate these people.
Or just have like little conversation, have a little, and like, Garn is actually apologizing because his dwarven is a little rusty, because, you know, he spent a ton of time in Tal'Dor and around.
Oh, right, yep.
But, you know, it does come back to him, and he's like, I've been away from... been away from the homeland for far too long. And then I asked him, have you been to the Five Kings recently?
No, I have not. No, I've been here for many years.
I see. Well, I have plans to go there in the near future, so if there's anyone you want me to pass a message along or bring a gift, you'll know where to find me.
Right, it's good to know I have a friend here. In Dwarvish, he says, watch out for those two. And he points at Pip and Zarf.
They seem like a handful.
Those two are fucking crazy.
And then in Dwarvish, he's like, and whatever they owe you, double it. They're loaded.
Fucking douchebag.
Seymour's just laughing. Like, ha, ha, ha.
Jerk.
Understandably, though, I mean, yeah. I would be infuriated to work for Pippin's Arf. Like, I would strangle him. Like,
it's the only reason why Hazel hasn't is because of literal draconian law. Like, so Rorsk walks off happy as can be. You guys have no idea why. The rest of you do not.
What a nice fellow.
So the you guys are yeah, go ahead.
Benson's going to walk up and embrace Lionel. Just be like, keeping the fort down.
Yeah. Okay.
What?
What do you expect me to do?
I don't know. I'm just happy to see you sober.
It's what? Noon?
Well, there's a celebration tonight, so...
Yeah, yeah. Also, these two are funny.
That's a way to describe them, yes.
Well, listen, here's the thing. They're put in charge, and they like to bully the other one, talking about Hazel. But she's like, they try to bully me, but all I have to do is do this. And she kind of does like that like schoolyard bully, like, huh, at them. And they go, ah!
Just give them a little check.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, it's good to see you in good health. I'll tell you what we went through later.
I'd love to hear it. Oh, by the way, some guy came looking for you.
What?
I don't know.
So, from me specifically?
Apparently.
All right, we gotta figure out a better way to organize the way you tell me news, because that's a pretty important one.
told you everything I cared about.
What? When did he show up? Was he asking for anything specific?
Nope, just asked for you.
Okay, again, where
here.
Is he?
I don't know.
What did he look like?
I look weak.
Weak.
Great.
All right, I guess we'll have to look around town to find the weak-looking man.
She looks out of the town and goes, there's so many down there.
There is. It's
good
kind
luck.
Of crazy. All right. Is that Elkwood's sister on the tip?
These characters, the ones that are on the map, aren't actually here, right?
No. So, well, you don't know if Demiri is here. So Demiri is the hobgoblin woman.
Yeah.
You don't know if she's there. She keeps to herself. She hides away most times, but she's was put in charge. Elkwood was put in charge of her.
Yeah.
So
then Elkwood
she,
dipped.
Yeah, and then Elkwood's not here. So, here's a question where we kind of need to overlap something. You as players learned or saw a flash of light in episode 100 special, and then Adalar's father was gone.
Right.
He ascended. Yeah.
Who is going to tell who about that? I would assume it would be Lionel, or maybe Hazel. But Hazel's not here yet. You guys haven't seen her.
Yeah, it probably would be Lionel then.
Yeah. You guys, Lionel, informs you guys, I had this little escapade, went to go save some of those goblins again. But came back and, the old guy, he's gone.
Adalar's father?
Yeah, I don't even remember his name.
Like he left?
No, his stuff's here, but he's gone.
Did he have any enemies any of us know of?
Barely knew him. Knew he was, pretty broken up about Adalar. But didn't know much about him.
Who's Adalar again?
Another friend we had that unfortunately passed in the line of duty.
I see. Is that a common occurrence?
When you do what we do, there's hazard pay for a reason. And by the way, the hazard pay is literally called you get to rob the corpses that you slay.
It's a good deal.
Works for me, I guess.
That's why you always want to look for the wizards for the big payouts.
Not wrong.
That's why we keep Kezra around. Roll on funds, get him.
How much does staff cost?
In an adventuring group, the wizard is what you call the windfall, or the safety.
I mean, honestly, looking at the treasure sheet, I don't know why my Kezra has almost 7,000 gold.
I haven't spent a lot on myself.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't spent any on myself.
Well, technically we deducted some money for the Dawn Silver Sword. You know that wasn't coming out of Kezra's pocket.
Gotta steal it from him.
Well, thanks for letting me know. Fucking assholes. Not even an in-game moment of being like, hey, we want some funds for some toys for you. And,
no.
Okay, we just stole it.
Yeah, we just stole it while you were sleeping.
Come on, John, you know we'd spend your money better than you would.
Yeah, I immediately, that's what I think, yeah.
All right, so you guys, if you guys go into his, the library. So remember, he was working on a library because he... I don't know if I had said this out loud, but pretty much he started to work on it for Adalar, but then Adalar passed, and so he was just doing it out of principle. You know what I mean? He was doing it for Adalar, not for Adalar to use, but for his memory kind of thing. Yeah. And so you see there is a lot of lumber, there's a lot of tools, there's a lot of stuff, and just in the center of the room, there's just a big gap where all of the stuff like looks like it was shoved out of the way, and there's just... nothing. There's no sign of him at all. There's dust everywhere. It doesn't look like it's been touched. It doesn't even look like they've been in here.
Hmm. So the dwarves, you mean?
The dwarves, or Pippin Zara for Lionel. Like none of the other occupants have been in this room.
All right.
Well, I think if this was his last known place... maybe we should just take a look around, see if he left a message or something.
Yeah, can I detect magic?
Your sister wasn't exactly helpful.
There's a plaque over the front door at the Adalar Community Library.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
He would have helped this, you know, for all the finances? Adalar. He would have had everything pinpointed exactly.
Yeah.
All the accounts already accrued. He's like, just take it out of this account, just to funnel it out there.
There's definitely a plaque that he put off to the side for to use to say for Adalar on it. So you want to do a Arcana check on this? Or detect magic?
Yeah, detect magic, Arcana, whatever.
You don't detect any magic. I think that he had a magical tool. I literally think he did have something like that. But other than that, I don't remember what tool it was exactly. It's been years, literally. But
probably a hammer.
Yeah, or like a chisel or something like that, or one of the what do they call the wood saws that they're sort of fanned out and they have like the saw tool. You know what I'm talking about?
I think we got him like artisan tools or something.
Yeah,
they were like Mastercraft too.
Yeah. But Green. So the
I got
one
a
of the,
34 for perception looking around.
You look around even with your detect magic, the only thing you find is whatever that magical tool was. It looks largely untouched. Like I said, the only thing that you can see is just it looks like there was a space cleared out where it just looks like there was obviously tools laying everywhere, and it looks like they were shoved out of like a 10-foot area. But yeah, just nothing.
Well, sure he'll turn up.
Yeah. Benson is going to go inspect his quarters.
You go into your quarters. It looks like they finally purchased beds.
Nice.
So there's some nice accommodations here for you guys to sleep in. each one of you has a room. I don't remember if he labeled them. Did we label
Yeah, I remember how we cut it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we like chopped it up into different areas.
Eric. I'm trying to see if we actually had like a... No, I did not rename them.
Benson was in the top right sector, and Adelar's was next to him.
Right, right. Okay. But, yeah, so each one of your quarters has very nice sleeping arrangements and dressers and everything like that, so it looks pretty good. Other than that, you can still see where they're working on some walls. If there's any, like, finished parts, they're probably just, like, resealing the stone or something like that, yeah.
So that means they finished the infirmary?
Yeah.
Sweet. I think Garn is probably just wandering around, getting his bearings of the place, and he comes across the infirmary, and he's, like, pretty blown away. It's, like, really kitted out. I haven't seen anything as good as this, actually, in all my days. Being a field medic on the battlefield, you don't have access to equipment such as this. You see there's, like, you know... magnifying glasses, there's all sorts of supplies, you know, sutures and needles and operating table, and you know, there's a sectioned off recovery room. This is state of the art. I could do a lot of good work in here.
So yes, a wandering gnome pitched us on this one piece of equipment called an X-ray machine.
Is it?
Every time you flip a switch, a devil inside looks inside of you and actually portrays it.
I mean, there is a spell for that, actually.
Yeah.
I forget what it's called, but yeah, it allows you to see the person's, like, their internal organs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, like, a medicine check, instead you can do, like, crit damage, or add, like, 66 extra damage or something to it.
Yeah.
Because you're like... Ah, I see your, like, left lung exactly where it is or something, and you just target it.
We're going to spring for it and buy it, but he said he wanted some weird currency called crypto for it.
So is the call for heroes today, or is that, like, coming up?
Yep.
Okay.
It's today.
I think Gezer just wants to head into town.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go see what new losers they round up.
Man, these heroes suck. Remember when we were here? God, we were awesome.
Back at level one.
They're so lucky they got us.
Is this like a sport or something? Like, do people just come here to ridicule them? Like, is Call of Heroes ironic?
No.
It's actually very serious when the townspeople actually need a lot of help. We just look down on them.
I mean, we're practically gods among men. I've never even heard of this town. Brie? Brechill, was it? Brechill?
There's no one of any competence in this town, so they hire mercenaries to solve their problems.
Yikes.
Yeah, I was on the town guard. It was bad.
Competence was at an all-time high until I got here.
You're telling me the bearer of the cloak found himself town guard here?
You know, you get bored.
We took the citadel from them. They didn't even fight for it. It's just ours now.
Wait, really? Like, do you have a deed or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have the deed.
I see.
No one contested it. Nobody said that this is Breach Hill property. Just ours now.
Somebody tried to come out and survey the property. We threw them off.
What about local taxes? Are you all caught up in those? I've heard there's some tricky ordinances.
You're going to need to shut up right the fuck now.
No. That's not a good point. We should start collecting taxes from the town.
That might be my favorite thing you've ever said.
Wait, taxes are good when they're coming to us.
We could rule this town like gods.
We'll bring that up at the call for heroes.
Angry guy. All right, so it is. If you're going to town, it's a 2-hour walk. By the way, it's quite a walk. Yeah, or maybe it's an hour each way or something like that, but it's a hefty walk just to get there. Let's see. Oh, before you go, did you guys want to talk to Hazel or Demiri at all?
You said Demiri was out of sight, right?
Yeah, I mean, she
I'll look for Demiri.
But... Okay. All right, if you could look for Demiri, Lionel would have told you that she found her in the, oh god, what's it called?
What's that, that tower?
The battlements, yeah, way up top, yeah. So if you go up there, you sure enough just see a hobgoblin who's just like hanging out, like sort of resting. She's like smoking a pipe, and you walk in, and she's just like, "Oh, boy, it's a surprise to see."
I don't think we've ever really. Well, actually, no, we did meet because.
Oh, you
beat the shit out of you. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You really, really tore me and my bloody blades up.
So there's a bit of a situation with Elkwood.
All right, is he well?
He's gone.
Oh,
he didn't come back through the gate with us.
Oh.
We didn't. Well, he didn't give us any warning, and he took the only way we could get back to him with him. So.
Oh, so he's just gone then.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Could you hold on 1 second? She picks up her bag. Walks out the other side.
Yeah. Peace.
If you follow her, you see her walk to the back of the citadel, and then just go whoop over the side.
I mean, I kind of, that was like an aura moment. That was pretty dope.
It's just like, bye.
Gone, bye.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, so sad to hear that. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry for a loss. Move on.
Before we leave.
Sure, Ben. Kezra will go check in on in the lab for Hazel.
Yep. You see Hazel, she's slowly just, like, working away at, like, something. You walk in and she turns and she's got those glasses with, like, the multiple frames, the multiple lenses that, like, flip up and down. Hmm. She just turns, she goes,
"Oh, hello. Kezra de Rujan, they've been very trying, but I have been under their service."
Yeah, we're back. They're idiots. You can be in charge now. I don't care.
What? Jesus. She looks up at you, just like,
"What? This is. Have I served them faithfully? It has been challenging, but I've been trying."
They're morons. Can't serve them faithfully. Can't serve Pippins off.
If this is a trial. Of my integrity and my devotion, I will serve even greater.
The fact that you're still here is enough for me. You can beat them if you want. It's fine. They probably deserve it after what they put those dwarves through.
She's looking at her hands with just like ultimate power.
Twitching.
Now the real question is Kezra going to tell Pippin Sarf she's in charge?
Oh my god.
They'll figure it out.
She looks up at you and just goes,
"The wrath that they will ensue from me."
I don't have time to deal with them, so I'll just leave it to you.
She, as you turn around, she notices the necrotic staff on your back. She goes,
"Yeah.
Oh, I see you got a new staff."
"Oh yeah, this is a got it off a dead lich."
Yeah, she eyes go wide. She knows what a lich is. She's like,
"You killed a lich? Where were you?"
Liches
are no laughing matter. This was nothing trivial.
No, of course not. We found ourselves in Gintargo. We traveled into the countryside. We ended up tracking down Scarlet Triad operations at a quarry south of the city. We lost Grimshaw there. You all met him briefly when we left.
Right, the Nidalee's one.
Yes, we brought back another one. A guard, and some old weird-bodied dwarf.
Oh!
I don't know.
Oh God, he's here!
So I just came down here.
I say he sneaks up on you, man.
I don't want to follow Benson.
He went into the battlements. It seemed like a bit of a hassle climbing up there.
Stairs.
My short legs.
Too many stairs.
my short legs.
247 years old. I'll skip a few stairs if I want.
Doctor
to
says I need a knee replacement, but damn him.
she looks at you, just the story that you have of just like killing Jagaki and, you know, a lich, you know, the infamous in power.
Did Hazel just know about not Jagaki, the kobold? I mean the kobold, the fucking, what am I trying to say? The archer. What, I can't remember her name. Laszlin, yes. Hazel know Laszlin?
No.
Didn't know Laszlin.
No, in fact, in all of the correspondence that you guys read, those were all between the blue dragon lady, yeah, who,
right,
don't remember her name. Belmazog.
Belmazog.
Yeah, that was between Belmazog and Laszlin. But Hazel wouldn't have known that. Hazel was just in charge of her kobolds, and then she was employed by the Scarlet Triad, or by the cult itself, by Belmazog herself. So it was sort of like she was being employed by Belmazog. Belmazog was being employed by the Scarlet Triad. So she was, you know, too many steps away to know who. Knows,
yeah,
that
like explain that we found Laszlin, who was corresponding with Belmazog. And eliminated her, and her notes lead us to believe that we'll be heading east into the Five Kings Mountains somewhere.
Oh, is that the next gate?
It would appear so. And he pulls out the cool eye thing.
She looks at it in your hand, and she like reaches out to like ask with her eyes if she can like hold it.
Sure.
Might I take a look? And she looks at it, and like she holds it up in the light, and just like the light shining through this eye, the eye of the wise, it just like it enthralls her, just seeing something so ancient, so powerful, supposedly crafted by the gods themselves, you know, in legends. And she's just like,
"You are coming across great magics, Gezred Erujan."
Yes, this one should open the next gate. Don't know what we'll find over there. But, yes. Got quite the collection now.
If I could... You have a far more powerful staff in your grasp. Could I perhaps have my beloved back?
Oh. I'll think about it.
If it was a stupid question, I'm so sorry. She, like, bows at you. I was a fool for asking.
I said I'll think about it.
I'm sorry.
As you leave the room.
You know that means no, usually. Like, in a parent speak. I'll think about it.
I'll think about it. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see. No, that's what you said. We'll see. Then you're like, no.
Okay. No.
So, Kaiser, is this like an oppressive power dynamic you have going on here? I'm really trying to suss you out.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a great guy to be around.
So you go through the front gate and see a statue of Kezra in the in the foyer.
Yeah.
No, I think I missed this on my first walkthrough.
What, you don't have any statues of yourself anywhere? Captured,
only bad people live to see their likeness in stone.
I mean, there's a statue of Ed Reed outside the Baltimore Raven Stadium. He's awesome.
Yeah, what about that?
Take that.
What about that, Garn?
What about that, Garn? Huh?
I know not Ed Reed nor the Baltimore Ravens.
I love how Tim drops a lovely, awesome line, and then Kelly's like, "Well, the Baltimore Ravens."
That's where Kelly's mind went. He was like, "Great people, Baltimore Ravens." All right. So
Kelly just is, his mind is so polluted by football. Everything, there's always a callback.
If it's, oh my god, wait, it is still football season because of the UFC or the was it UFL? Is that what?
Oh, I thought you were talking about how it's Rova. So that would correspond to football season.
Oh, that is true, yeah.
Football
yeah.
season? It's Rova. God.
Yeah.
Okay, but real talk, though. Was the Edreed statue up in 2019?
Yeah.
You said that very unconfidently.
Yeah, I mean, he retired in, like, 2013, 14.
Yeah, it should be there.
I wonder if I...
Yeah, yeah, his career ended in 2015, so...
That doesn't mean they got the statue right away.
I can feel us bleeding watchers as we talk about this.
Tim's asking the important questions.
Whoa, this is blowing my mind. The bust? Oh, that's a Hall of Fame bust.
Oh, okay.
Okay, it's a little different from the statue. Because the Hall of Fame bust was August of 2019, which is a month after Rova. Anyways,
oh, yeah.
John's right.
What are we doing? Anyway, you guys go to town, right? You guys are going. You're going to Breach Hill now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. To see Ed Reed's statue.
Yes, there's a Ed Reed statue facing. So the statue of Layman Breachton is on one side, and there's a Ed Reed statue on the other side.
You say the statue's knocked over. Ed Reed is now.
They replace it with a Michael Vick.
I don't think they actually have an Ed Reed statue. Oof. But they do have a Ray Lewis statue. It's next to the Johnny Unitas statue.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know the Ray Lewis one. That's the that's a good one.
So we get to Breach Hill.
Let's go to Breach Hill.
Get to Breach Hill. And you go in the Call for Heroes the actual like meeting of the Call for Heroes is done. Nobody had any issues, so now it's just a party. It's a big celebration. There's all sorts of stuff. There's like little like, carnival games, and kids are running around with their little like wooden swords and playing and stuff like that. It's a big deal.
They had to grease all the lamp poles so people couldn't climb on them.
This isn't Philly.
I was about to say this ain't Philly. All right, more decorum.
These aren't animals.
Why are those ruffians on that town guard carriage?
Let's see, who would you run into first? Is there anybody that you're looking for first in town, I guess, is
we are looking
question.
For a weak man.
That's a great question.
Just walk up to random people. You look weak. You looking for me earlier?
Are you weak? I'm 90.
This is the guy.
This must be him.
Take him out.
What? No, please.
We're the heroes here.
My family relies on me.
Oh, that sucks.
If you go to... Because Kezra and Benson are the only ones that would actually like know where to go in town.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you guys. You know that there's Caden's Keg, which Lionel's already there.
Yeah, I figured.
There's also the... Where was the other place? The Pickled Ear is the Rough and Tumble dive bar owned by Roxy Den.
I threatened her.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah, you threw up again. And then somebody stole their pickles. What was the other place? There's a soup kitchen called Layman's Lament. Let's see. What are some
what
other
time
places?
Of day is it?
Oh! It's like 2 p.m. It's the Call for Heroes right. Ended at 1. So that's why I say it's in full swing at this point. Here's an interesting thing. You guys go past Passandi Bros and it looks empty.
Yep.
Sign torn off the front. It looks like they have been cleared out.
Yeah. Wasn't Adelar gonna buy that land and take it over for his dad so we could open a small business there?
Yeah, there was an auction that was going to be held for all the materials and the tools and everything else.
Ooh,
there. Yeah.
Kessler's going to go buy that land. I don't know who he has to go to, but he's just going to start swinging some of this money around.
If you go up to the front door of the place, you can see that the public auction is tomorrow. So,
oh yeah. you did promise Adelar that you would buy the property for his dad. So what you do with it until his dad shows up again, that's up to you.
Yep.
Benson looks at the old sign for the Basanti brothers and is like, can you believe it? Honest contractors being Satan worshippers.
whoever unraveled that must be a hero.
I know, I'm glad there are no Asmodeus worshippers in our group.
Yep.
Yes, not a single one.
Not a one.
Hey, what's that on your gauntlet? Wow.
I'm just a dabbler.
Alright, so you guys go into a specific bar or anything like that? Like,
go to Cadence Keg.
Yeah, that's where we're the most known.
Yeah.
Just like, guess it's time to start drinking.
So the Call to Heroes already happened, and so the people get selected, presumably?
No, the Call for Heroes is really just a formality, and then if anybody has any issues, then people rise up. But nobody really had anything that they needed a hero for, so then they just... They recanted a story about a hero. That's sort of what happens is, like, does anybody have any problems? No? Okay. We're going to read the story of blank. And then they just talk about... They retell a story of heroism from a previous year. All right. So, Caden's Keg. This rousing, well-kept tavern is one of Breach's most popular places to enjoy a hearty meal and a pint of ale. And it doubles as the Temple of Caden Kalian, the freewheeling accidental god. The proprietor, primary bartender, and head priest is Brian Tace, played by Jennifer Lawrence, who loves little more than when adventurers tell rousing tales of their daring exploits and deeds, and preferably in conjunction with frequent purchases of ale. That is happening now. So as you guys go in, you can see that there's two old guys that are telling a story, but they're also arguing about details about it. They're like, no, I got the last hit on that orc. Okay, all right, you might have gotten that, but listen, I killed the boar that he was on. Like, yeah, you always claimed, they're like arguing about the details about it. People are finding it more funny, the sort of a comedy bit, right, rather than a hearty tale for children. But when you guys walk in, some of the people there actually recognize you. The main one being Greta Gardania, who she is the head of the town council. She's the one who was played by Amelia Clark. So as you walk in, you get a drink and you sort of stand somewhere, and she looks to her right, and you happen to be standing right next to her. She goes, "Oh, Kezra! Oh my word! Everyone, we have heroes here!" And everyone sort of turns to you, except the two guys who are now mad that the attention is off of them. And they go, "These are the heroes of Breach Hill, not nearly 3 months ago. They're the ones who stopped the fire and the call for heroes that day." Some of the people that you don't know and are like, "Oh, those guys," and other people sort of whisper and confirm it. And they're all just like, "Welcome, where have you been? It's been simply ages, it seems."
Kezra makes like a big show of it, and it's like, yes, we're back. Everybody can start buying us drinks now. And then he just immediately starts drinking and going into the story of fighting the Scarlet Triad in Kintargo, and then in the quarry, he like starts waving the Lich Staff around. Talking about how Benson like slayed all these like undead bears, how like pissed in the ashes of the lich, and he's just getting fucking hammered.
Yeah, and of course
he's buying everybody drinks too. Like so, just throwing money around.
Yeah. You start regaling, all this stuff, and you. They thought you were heroes before, and they didn't even care if these stories are bullshit or not. I mean, you're being entertaining. A few hours go by of them talking to you and asking you stuff. People are asking how the Citadel's doing. "Oh, I haven't gotten up there. You know, when I went up there, some lady pushed me out."
Don't. It's private property.
Look at that grumpy bitch over there.
You just point at Lionel.
Lionel is arm wrestling somebody.
Of course.
I love that.
So the day carries on. I want to kind of zoom out from you guys at Cadence Cake. We sort of zoom the camera out a little bit, but we take it away from Kezra and all the stuff that's happening there, and we go over to a human we see sitting there. He's dressed in what could be called a matte refinement. He sports a white shirt with a dark purple coat, and it's sort of open lazily, very sexily. His hair, long and showcasing the similar purple color of his coat, as well as one gold earring that is collapsed in his left ear. His pants are black, and there's a trim of crimson red throughout all the layers that he has. And on either side of him, he has his arms around a man and a woman, and he's sort of talking and bantering between the two of them. In one of his hands, a goblet of wine he sort of has just like sort of haphazardly as he says he's talking there. And he whispers something into both of their ears before standing up.
I will be back. Do not worry, my darlings.
His grin seemed to showcase a genuine feeling of ease. And in his teeth, only marred slightly by two slightly pronounced canines that could give him the appearance of a vampire. I mean, even if he was certainly not, as it's daytime. And what we see is a dwarf running up to him. Sir Ambrose?
Please, just Ambrose. I'm no knight. What do you need, my friend?
His bright amber eyes showcased a genuine interest. It was a characteristic inherited by his lineage, for sure. Make people feel wanted. Do not dismiss anyone. After all, anyone could prove to be important in his mind. Anyway, well, the guys were wondering if you could assist some of the construction at the Citadel. We usually have things under wraps, but the amount of work it's causing us a...
Don't you worry, I can assist. Not much in the way of strength, but I think I can find a way to make it work. Either way, why don't you get yourself a drink in the meantime? I've nothing but construction going over there in that place. You need some time off.
Not wanting to shirk duties, but finding the festivities a bit of a draw, the dwarf sort of cocked his head a little bit and unsure.
But if Worse catches me,
And this man speaks back in Dwarvish.
Aye. Then, you can talk to me. One of those, here is a breach hill, or whatnot. Come on, you've earned it.
Almost thankful. The dwarf left, nodding his head for a moment, before getting a drink and some meat. This left much of the town square still in the sway of things, not many thinking much about the music that seemed to also play from the disembodied instruments, the figure conjoining one of his hands and playing a viola. Not world-class by any means. He spun through the square, the relish of music and joy bringing him back to a moment in his past, before he sees Benson walk in. What does this guy do, Mark?
Oh. He pauses for a moment because he doesn't recognize Benson at first. This is something that I'm assuming his helmet's off and all that stuff. But they haven't seen each other in a very, 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 very long time. So, until someone actually says something and says, "It's Benson," that's when he'll stop. Like, the instrument just kind of pauses for a moment. And he looks right at him. And he doesn't first go up to him at the moment. Like, this is one of those things, they're telling their stories, they're doing all this stuff, you know, going all this. But he's watching, like, he's confirming, he's getting information. But he does eventually, when Benson's kind of maybe by himself a little bit more, that he will sidle up next to him. and goes,
So,
you're a big knight now.
Benson will look over, and does he instantly recognize this character?
I think probably a check, maybe.
Roll for it. Let's get a roll.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be probably easy-ish, but...
By the way, these episodes brought to you by...
Black Oak Workshop, where dice are treasure.
Yeah, we haven't had a die roll in a while, so yeah. It has not been appropriate, but...
True.
What would you like that role to be, Mark?
You have society, right?
Yes, quite good.
Yep.
Gonna crush that with a natural 17.
Oh, yeah, hey. You did.
Plus 14, so yes. Crushed.
You definitely recognize him after a moment. Like, probably, you know, after someone that you've remembered from childhood during one of those meets when... two households eventually met. And you would know him as Ambrose Gohenves, which was the, well, not the bastard child, but the middle child of the Gohenves house in Chiliax.
So there's like a pause, and he's looking at you, and he goes, "Fucking Ambrose? What the hell are you doing here?"
He just kind of laughs for a moment. Looking for you. Oh, you cannot believe him.
You were the man that met with my sister.
Oh, yes, the weak man. Believe me, I've heard the insults already.
Please forgive me. She's not very blunt.
Oh, don't worry. I mean, with these arms, and he just kind of like shakes them a bit. I'm dreadfully weak. Do not worry about that.
Well, why are you looking for me?
Well, I'm... Well, and this is something else. With that role, you would probably also might... He'll talk about it for a moment. Because, well, I believe you may assist me in something here. And he's looking around, making sure no one's really looking, listening, or whatever. Everyone's rough at, like... carousing, so I'm assuming no one. But I've heard you were taking out the Scarlet Triad.
Benson does pause for a second because it's not like... He doesn't expect just random people from his childhood to just be like, "Oh, I heard you were on this super secret mission."
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you work for the CIA. What?
That sounds like someone from the Scarlet Triad would say.
Yeah. Stab him.
No. Kill him.
But Benson just like, yes, where did you hear that?
Oh, I have my sources, at least.
I guess you always did.
Oh, may we speak somewhere a little bit quieter, at least?
Yes, the back alley can be relatively quiet this time of night. Come on.
Sure.
So you guys find a, I don't want to say quiet corner of Caden's cake, but, you know, a less occupied one.
Well, I take him to the back alley, so outside of the bar.
Looks around, make sure that Garn isn't, like... about to pop up out of fucking nowhere. He has a tendency to do that.
Like,
Garn is living it up, listening to all of Kezra's tales because he's getting lots of lore drop right now about their previous adventures. People are like, tell us about the Wongi again. And Garn's like, "You're not telling me about this one, Kezra."
Garn's like, "Kezra, this could be a show."
Yeah, Kezra's just laying it all out there. He wants to challenge Lionel to an arm wrestling contest.
Like, yeah. He's just being a
total asshole.
That's normal. But yeah, like once they go out and he kind of pauses for a moment. Well, since the last time you may have seen me, I mean, goodness, that was many, many years ago. There's been some issues involving the Scarlet Triad, and so I have been taking it under my own judgment to go after them.
Really?
And he's going to produce a small bag and kind of, like, bring out shackles that the Scarlet Triad had.
He's like, collecting the shackles that of the ones he kills?
Broken, yeah. Or the parts of their uniform, like, just cuts them out. Goes, they did something dreadful to my family.
Oh.
And this is where your check probably will carry over, that there was probably in the Chiliax news cycle. It's not 24 hours. But but there was an incident that was called the Fall of Gohenves, where their house, which was like a small castle, you know, was attacked one night and led to a lot of people dying.
Oh my gosh.
And he somehow survived, but the rest of his family is either dead or gone.
So it was the Scarlet Triad that did that?
Yes. I remember their faces well, and I remember that they didn't want to kill me. They said the son of a Viscount would fetch a nice price instead of a corpse. But my older brother didn't quite make it.
I'm so sorry.
And it's like when he's talking, it's like he's trying to smile, but like his teeth are gritting. Like, just like there's like anger that's bubbling behind the surface constantly.
Mm-hmm. And Story Benson just kind of grabs his shoulder. Just because, like, I understand. We can talk and work this out.
Yes.
I would be more than happy to work with you. In fact, how about you stay with us tonight?
Oh, I wouldn't want to oppose. I mean, I...
We've got plenty of open rooms. You're not imposing on anybody.
Oh, are the two kobolds not going to try to smack me or chase me out?
No. Okay. If you're there under my, with my blessing, they won't fucking touch you.
Oh, well, that'll be nice. And I mean, I said Lionel, I'm perfectly fine. I mean, as I said, I have little skinny arms anyway. But those two, I swear they were trying to set me on fire somehow.
They most likely were. But you're going to have to give me. Just tell me everything that's happened to you since we last met, Ambrose. It's been too long.
Oh, yes. Oh, of course. I mean, I get it. It's only been 20 years. And he was also, you know, drinking a little bit. So, you know, he's got kind of a little bit of that going on right now. But
yeah.
It's a very genuine smile that he gives you. And he's like, of course. But I feel for tonight, I'd rather listen to your friend's stories. They're quite interesting. I didn't know all that was going on.
You know, normally he just lies and makes up the craziest stories ever, but the shit he's talking about tonight actually kind of happened. It's wild.
No. I'm pretty good at telling lies, and I know he's telling none.
Then let's get back there and continue to enjoy the evening. Oh, of course. We'll let you know when you can walk back with us.
Sure.
Let me show you a picture of this guy, by the way.
Temporary for now?
Yeah. Till we get some... there we are.
Yeah. My basic ass face, but... Nice. I use Baldur's Gate. Because I was trying to think of it, because I was trying to draw something for a moment, and I was like, I'm really burnt out from everything that's going on with my place. So I'm like,
oh yeah.
I'm like, Baldur's Gate 3, they have a character creator.
Yes.
Fuck yeah. So it's perfect. But yeah, I couldn't quite get all the other details with, God, the purple hair and that was neon purple. And I'm like, no, I want like flat, not purple.
Not quite what I need.
Yeah.
So the festivities go on. Throughout the night, Kezra regales these tales of everything that's happened in the entirety of Book 3. And you guys set your sights on the next gate. And I'll see you guys next time.
Yeah.
Hey there, everybody. Jake the GM here to tell you once again about Misty Mountain Gaming. But today I'm going to talk to those sickos over there that play Magic the Gathering. Yeah, that's right, you guys. Turns out Misty Mountain Gaming actually has something for you, too. They have themed dice for your Magic the Gathering games. They have D20s that are just for your decks. There's a white, a green, and a black D20 here that are absolutely gorgeous I'm looking at right now. Make sure to go check them out when you get the chance, because these things are absolutely incredible to look at. And if I played like you guys, I think I'd be interested in it. Go check them out. Make sure to use Dragon Punch Squad at checkout for an extra 10% off, and I'll see you in the next episode.